Nowadays, we hear a lot from people who know or seem to know what they're talking about. And I have it in mind to talk about something that I don't really know an awful lot about, though knowing is going to be in question in it. It's a book I'm minded to write and that I'm very much at the beginning of, in that rather pleasantly puffy period when I'm ventilating ideas as to what it might be, how it might turn out. And I think of this as being a bit like the period when you prove a loaf, when you're making a loaf. Interesting word. It's only been used in this sense since about 1852, but Chaucer talks about proving in the sense of prospering or turning out well. So it's proving, perhaps close to a word like improving, that I'm currently in the midst of with regard to this. I've written quite a lot over quite a number of years about aspects of magical thinking. And usually I've been focused on thinking in magical ways about certain kinds of objects, the voice, the air, personal effects, magical objects, even most recently numbers. And it occurred to me that actually when talking about the thing he called magical thinking, Freud actually had in mind a magical understanding of the act of thinking itself. So that's really what I'm minded myself to have a think about over the next few years, however long it takes. Freud actually has another coinage which is quite useful to me. Freud talks about something he calls epistemophilia, or the love of knowledge, the love of knowing, which I think is a form of magical thinking. Epistemophilia sounds like it might be a close relative of philosophy. They both mean more or less the same thing, the love of knowledge. But of course, epistemophilia, when you move the philo bit from the front to the back of the word, it comes out sounding like what Freud called a paraphilia or a perversion, an exorbitant or manic or perverted form of knowledge. And that's exactly what Freud had in mind. He had in mind people with an uncontrollable urge to look up the skirts of governesses and that kind of thing. I'm interested in what one might call epistemopathy, I'm afraid, a coinage of mine, probably, which I want to be in line with words like apathy and antipathy and even telepathy. That's to say, I'm interested in the entire variegated landscape of what we feel about knowing, what we feel about knowledge and the executive action that brings it about, thinking. So what are our dreams? What are our desires? What even are our dreads in relation to knowledge? How do we live out being knowledgeable or being ignorant? How do we perform the role of what the psychoanalyst Jacques Lacan calls the one supposed to know? And how does it structure our time, personal and collective? How even does it frame or furnish spaces? So the kinds of things in which I'm going to take an interest, I hope, or as it seems to me, I might be able to, are things like the quiz. I don't think there's a proper history of the quiz. No one even really knows where the word quiz comes from. But quizzes and riddles, what's going on there? I'm also interested in the history of secrecy in relation to knowing. Why is knowledge so often secret? Why is the possession of knowledge so often, as it seems, such a powerful secret? And why does knowledge seem more powerful if it is secret? What is the occultism, so to speak, of the epistemological? And what are the relations between possession, therefore, and knowledge, and on the other side, illegitimate possession or pretension? I think some kind of account of the figure of the charlatan would be interesting and useful. And in among this, I think it would be very important to have a look at what we might call the entire field of agnostics. What is it like not to know or to attempt to remain in a condition of unknowing or ignorance? And what are the spaces of knowing? What would be something like a theatre of knowing? One would think of the study of the monastery, the college, the schoolroom, the library, the laboratory, and nowadays, of course, the internet. And finally, what of epistemopathy proper, the epistemomath, knowledge, so to speak, gone mad, the knowledge of the magus, the Faust figure, that kind of reason that is so exorbitant that it's become irrational.